In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is our gospel text from St. Luke. However, before we begin, some historical background is probably in order on this sermon. History tells us that Herod the Great began his temple remodeling in 20 BC, and that work was finished sometime after 64 AD. Now that was 84 years from start to finish. Yet it was only 6 years later, in 70 AD, that the Roman army laid siege to Jerusalem and destroyed it. Today there is a Muslim shrine where the temple once stood. The only trace of the temple is the scattered stones around the Temple Mount. The temple in Jerusalem was the center of Jesus' activities the week before his crucifixion. After his triumphal entry into the city, Jesus went to the temple. He drove out those who were using his courtyard for business purposes. Jesus used the same courtyard for the purpose of teaching the people the word of God. The temple is the scene of confrontations between Jesus and his opponents that was described in chapter 20. While in the temple, Jesus, he observes both rich and poor people putting money into the treasury. This money was used then to maintain the temple and to support the daily routine and religious activities. This temple was indeed a beautiful building, as some of Jesus' disciples noted. The first temple, built by King Solomon, that had been destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. The second temple was completed about 515 BC. So at the time here now of Jesus' earthly ministry, that temple is about 500 years old. And King Herod the Great had decided to refurbish this aging temple. And this project then continued even after his death. We find the work being continued at the time of our text. Josephus writes that the exterior of the structure lacked nothing that could astound either mind or eye. Some of the stones of this temple were 60 feet long and 7 feet high. Yet this splendid building was doomed. Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left on another." A few days earlier, during his entry into Jerusalem on a colt, he had said the exact same words about the city of Jerusalem. Not one stone will be left unturned. So then, in the year 70 AD, the Romans destroyed both the city and the temple, which of course was the fulfillment of those words from Jesus. And yet, these same words of Jesus, they speak directly to us this morning in our daily lives. We read it again at the opening verses. "And as some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, 'As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.' And they asked him, 'Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?' And he said, 'See that you are not led astray.'" So far, text, will you please pray with me and especially for me? Dear gracious and forgiving God, you would have us to remain steadfast in the face of Christian persecution. To that end, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and bring glory to your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, Jesus is recorded as saying some really loving things. He says that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we are his friends and his brothers. But in today's Gospel reading, his words are far from loving. "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." God's people, the righteous Jews of the Old Testament times and Christians since New Testament times, They have all been picked on, messed about, fired, arrested, thrown out of their houses, beaten, starved, killed, and all seemingly without cause. Now, 1,000 years before Jesus, David in Psalm 119, verse 86 said, "Help me, Lord, because men are persecuting me without cause." Although we identify with David, there is in fact a cause, a reason why we are persecuted and ill-treated. Christian persecution happens because we are children of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of light. And because of this, we are opposed and hated by evil people who are of the devil and the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. I just want to let you know, based on the Bible, the words of Jesus, things are going to get a lot worse. We cannot begin to imagine how bad. But I also want to tell you that based on the Bible, on the words of Jesus, that things are also going to get better. In the Old Testament, Abraham was persecuted by King Abimelech. Abraham's nephew Lot was persecuted by the homosexual inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Joseph was picked on by his brothers and then by Potiphar's wife because he wouldn't have sex with her. All the prophets were rejected and despised because they proclaimed God's word. Elijah was hounded by Jezebel, the wicked wife of the weak king Ahab. Jeremiah, he was thrown into a dry well. Daniel, put into the lion's den. Then the New Testament, Jesus was killed by the Romans on orders from the Jewish high priest, who refused to believe that he was the Messiah. Stephen was stoned to death because he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul was nearly killed by Pharisees, who had been his friends and colleagues before he became a Christian. Regarding Christian persecution that is happening right now while we speak, there are organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, and the Barnabas Fund. They work unselfishly to report atrocity after atrocity against Christians. Back in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, we used to get information about dreadful things that were being done to Christians in the communist states such as the USSR, East Germany, Romania, China, Albania. And at that time, the mainstream news media, for the most part, they choose not to report Christian persecution. Today, they're just as irresponsible. The mainstream media are negligent. They really should be held accountable. If you remember back, as a result of prayer, the Berlin Wall came down, and churches have been opened throughout most of Eastern Europe. On our recent vacation in Europe, we saw churches that were being restored, even with public money. However, at the present time, according to reports of these watchdog agencies, Christians are being severely persecuted, and especially in the countries which are predominantly Islamic, or what we tend to call Muslim. And even though we practice tolerance here in this country, we allow Muslims to build mosques. In most Muslim countries, Christians are picked on, robbed, and certainly killed, being beheaded. And the authorities and the police do very little about it. The Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but if we just look at it that way, then the devil wins if we give in to our base and our animalistic feelings and, you know, we want to just punch them and kick them and kill them for what they're doing to us and our fellow believers. That's not what Jesus wants. Because even as he was hanging, dying on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." Now, in all honesty, I don't think I'd be able to say that. The book of Job, it teaches us that God permits the devil just so much freedom. He is limited. And he permits just so much sin and suffering, and it's limited. That's the price for giving us and every other human being free will. Jesus warns in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24, as well as today's reading that we have here in Luke, that the end times will see persecution of the elect to such an extent that many will fall away. But the message of the Bible is that no matter how bad things are for Christians in Islamic countries and in communist countries such as North Korea, and even in Western countries where everyone is supposed to have free speech, you know, except those who speak out against homosexuality and abortion, but things are going to get even worse than they are right now. Our non-Christian neighbors, friends, and even our sons and our daughters one day will turn against us. They're going to think they're doing the right thing by persecuting us. Before the end comes, many Christians will be put to death only for being Christian in nasty, painful, and evil suffering ways. Are we prepared for this? The Bible also makes it clear that this persecution will last only for a limited time. Just as God permitted the devil to make Job suffer just only so long, and Joseph, he only spent so long in Pharaoh's prison, and Daniel, he only spent one night in the lion's den. And the Jews, they were only in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. So also God will only allow the persecution of his people for just so long. And then he will come to save those who are still here, and he will judge the guilty. He will set up his eternal kingdom where the saints will abide with him forever and ever. So there are bad things to come, but the bad times will only last for a relatively short time for those who stay faithful. They will be followed by good times, which will last forever and ever. Then what do we do in the meantime? Most importantly, we should be praying for those who are now being persecuted and giving money to Christian relief agencies, which help them. You know, you could also write to your congressmen, your senators, or our new president, or anything else that the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do. Now, I must admit that I only contact the government sporadically, but know this. With a capital switchboard and emails and all that sort of thing, you can send a lot of messages in a very short time. Now, even though most leaders in Washington have long ago turned in their God-given moral compasses called conscience, it's another good reason to drain the swamp, we need to ask God to prepare us for the bad times by asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith. And for that, we need to partake of the sacrament. We need to study His holy word so that we will be able to recognize the signs of the approaching end times and the second coming of Jesus. Could be soon, could be long distance out, far away. Jesus did not give a date or a time. He just said, "See that you are not led astray." We should appreciate attendance in worship services and fellowship with Christian friends, because one day our Christian churches may well be closed down and meetings like this illegal. And we should pray for our enemies and those who persecute us. This is what Jesus said we should do. Personally, I find this the hardest. What do we pray for? For one thing, we should respond to the Holy Spirit's calling and to have folks converted. And we should also be praying then for ourselves as well, that we will believe God's promise that He will not allow us to be tested for more than we can stand, and that He will grant us His grace to endure whatever we have to for the sake of the gospel. May God help us to persevere through the bad times that are going to be ahead, assured that good times will indeed follow. For no matter how terrible and how horrible things will get, or how terrible we might suffer, at the end lies the victor's crown, a robe of righteousness. Not a silver lining at the edge of some sort of a hypothetical cloud or some sort of pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, but rather our eternal reward for those who stay faithful and are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.